Good morning.
So we're going to talk about Zambia this morning. This video that you just saw was from Camp Life Week 3 last year, 2017. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what it's like to go to Camp Life and what's going on, what God is doing in Zambia. Through the course of this morning, we're going to see some pictures and we're going to see some videos, and I want to make sure everybody understands what an amazing thing is happening in Zambia. So, Maranatha Fellowship has been side by side with the work that Family Legacy Missions International has been doing now since 2009, and we're a partner with them on a number of things. And shortly after Krista talked me into going, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute, Lee and I initiated a fundraising effort to raise funds to build what's known as Promise House. So Promise House is one of 60 homes plus, there's more than 60 homes now, that have been built at the Tree of Life, which is property that Family Legacy owns, just outside of downtown Lusaka. And the verse that is so important to Promise House and why we call it the Cedars of Zambia is, but the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. So when I read that verse, I said, these kids are like the cedars of Zambia. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. So when these kids come from the compounds and are moving into the homes in the Tree of Life, they're being transplanted. They're being put into fertile ground where they're going to be able to grow. And because of that, they flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, "The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him." And that's found in Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. And then the other thing I want you to see as far as this opening slide is concerned is in 2014, Zambia celebrated their 50th anniversary of independent rule from the British. Zambia was the former Rhodesia. It was a conglomeration of what grew out to be Zambia and Zimbabwe, which are right next to each other in the lower south of Africa. And so in 2014, the drive for Family Legacy was to put the thought into the children's head that you are part of the future of Zambia. You are the next 50 years of Zambia. And to help them to have hope for a better future. The city of Lusaka is the capital of Zambia. And if you're in downtown Lusaka, you might think that you're maybe in a small or Caribbean style town. But once you get just a few blocks off of the main areas of the capital or off of the main arteries that go in and out of Lusaka, it dumps down into poverty at levels that are almost unimaginable. I think that the most stark thing for me was to see how different life is living in Zambia than it is living here. The things that we take for granted that are so normal here are not there, and in truth, in most of the world. We are enjoying a privilege that God has given to us, and it's incumbent upon each one of us to recognize that this privilege that we've been given is not a privilege to be exalted above others or to have a haughty spirit, but to rather use the things that we've been given to help those that are in need. That's the call, that's really the gospel, to reach out for those who are lost, to reach out for those who don't have what they need. That's what the gospel is. To bring about the need for salvation. Well, in the tangible living in such a desperate place, that's where the gospel is most in need. So So on the next slide, I just want to make sure you guys know where Zambia is. That's a map of the world, a little bit difficult to see, but kind of a shadowed out. And then you can see in the red, that's where Zambia is in South Central Africa. It's a landlocked nation, and they do not have access to any ports of call. So everything that they get that's being imported, or that which is being exported, and mostly that is copper, has to be taken out by truck or rail car. And so they're very dependent on other nations. They are a peaceful nation. They have a parliamentary style government. They recently had an election where they re-elected the president that had been moved into office as a result of the death of the president that was there before. But it was a peaceful transition. They had elections much like we do, although they had a lot more candidates. Although, I don't know, the Republican candidate, there were, 17 at one point. But anyway, it was a peaceful transition, and it's a peaceful nation. They're at peace with all of their neighbors. In truth, the whole time that I've been there, I never really felt like I was in danger. I did feel like I was clearly out of my comfort zone of what it's like to live here in America, but it was not a place where I felt like we were at risk. The people are very friendly. And then you can see you are here, over here in the DC metropolitan area in the good old US of A. So Krista, our daughter, and Krista had, for most of her life, had a desire to be involved in mission activities. So when Krista graduated from college and came to us and said, hey, I'm going to go to Africa this summer, we were not surprised that she wanted to do that because she had been on several other mission trips. And so I said, well, where in Africa? And she said, Zambia. Of course, I had to go get a map. I didn't know where Zambia was. And what are you going to be doing? Oh, I'm going to be working with orphan children. Okay, well, why are they orphans? Because of AIDS. Zambia is a nation about the size of Texas, has about 15 million people in it, and half of that population is under the age of 16 because of AIDS. AIDS has decimated the 20, 30, and 40-year-old generation, which means that about a million plus children of a population of 15 million are orphans. It's the largest percentage of orphan to non-orphan children in the world. I just want to let that set in for a moment. Imagine what it would be like if the United States was half the population under the age of 16 and a significant amount of the population were orphans. Now, it would be very different than the way it is today. So Krista says, well, I'm going to go. Okay, so she goes, and that was in 2009. And she was gone for about 3 weeks, and Lee and I learned an awful lot about Google Earth because we wanted to see where she was going and places like that. And she came home, and we picked her up at the airport, and she was weeping. And she said, Daddy, that's where I belong. That's where my heart is. So she proceeds over the course of the next year to quit the job that she just got with her freshly minted finance degree, working at Morgan Stanley in downtown DC, one of their most prosperous offices. And the next summer, she ended up walking away from that job, going to Zambia again, and then going full-time to work for the ministry. In these pictures that you see, so 2009 was Krista's first year. The picture that you see on the left is Krista with our first Zambian grandson, whose name is Timothy. And Timothy, you'll see in some of the other pictures in the future slides, is growing up. And then the other pictures are of other activities that she was doing there in 2009. And then in 2010, she goes back, and you can see more pictures of her working with the children and being involved and going into the compounds and going to work full-time there. She didn't actually live full-time in Zambia. She went back and forth over the course of the next 3.5 years, either in Zambia for months at a time or back in Dallas, Texas, where Family Legacy is headquartered. This whole time that Krista was getting involved in working with Family Legacy, she was working on me, and, "Daddy, you've got to go." And, you know, that tugs at a father's heart because, you ladies, you look as little girls to your father. You have a special place in your father's heart. And her desire to impress upon me the need for me to go, I didn't easily give in to. I guess that's shame on me, but I did go. And when I went, it changed everything. My thoughts going into it were, what's this old white guy going to be doing with kids that many of them have never even seen a white person before? And how am I going to, talk with them, and how am I going to get along with them? And it posed all kinds of questions for me that I was struggling with. And when I got there, well, it, let's just say, was amazing. So I've got a video that I would like to share with you about one man's experience and how his daughter affected him and how he went and how his life was affected by it as well.
I'm an investment banker. I've been a career investment banker. I've worked Wall Street for 28 years for big, major bulge bracket firms. Especially when you get to the age that I'm at, you start thinking about what is truly significant. What am I doing with my family? What is my legacy? My wife and my second son and my oldest daughter, they went on this trip to Lusaka, Zambia. When they came back from their trip, they wanted to show the pictures, they wanted to talk about their experiences. And a week later, same thing. A month later, same thing. And then we got to Christmas, where we asked our kids, what do they want for Christmas? And they write it down on a list. The two children that went on this trip, they only wrote one thing on their list, and it said, "Please sponsor my orphan kids that I had in Zambia." And when I read that, tears came to my eyes. I showed it to my wife, and I said, "We as a family, all seven of us, are going to Africa to experience what you guys experience, because there are very few places in the world that God tabernacles like that amongst people, and I want a piece of that."
Going to Zambia with him was just such a life-altering experience for me, just because when we went back, I just got to see my dad again, and just the way he loved those children and the way that it changed his heart and changed mine. Through the orphans, we were all brought closer together as a family.
Camp life is unbelievable experience, especially if you have your family there.
Since we've gone to Zambia, my dad's view of what really is significant in this world and in this life has changed. I just got to see just him be a leader, but also him being humbled by these children, and it was incredible just to see how he was serving and loving unconditionally and just bringing those kids closer to his heart. If you're a dad and you're watching this, I'm coming from a daughter's standpoint that this is the best gift that you could ever give your children.
Camp life, Family Legacy, is one of the best places for you to see God. He's in the eyes of the orphan. If you want to just get ultimate fulfillment, to sort of get a new direction or the right direction in your life, it just touches you like nothing else. It is just electrifying what can happen to to you at Camp Life, because it's just a supernatural experience.
When she said that one of the best gifts that a father could give to their children was to go, but in reality, it was the best gift that could be given to me. When I came home after my first trip in 2011, I just knew that I couldn't be the same person that I was before. And I know that many of you I've known for a long time, and I hope that you didn't think I was some sort of scoundrel before then, or that I didn't care. But it was like just opening up my eyes to so many things. And my appeal to you right now is, if you should go, then you should go. If you don't see that happening, then that's, you know, between you and God. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, be involved, because it's an amazing thing that's happening there. So I went in 2011, and Krista was already there. She was working there. And you can see that there I am with her. The theme for that Camp Life is 7 weeks of activities that go on. Our summer is actually their winter, so the weather is really very, very nice. It's maybe in the 70s. It might get into the 80s. During the day. In the evening, it's cool. You have to wear a jacket. It can get down into the 40s. It doesn't rain at all. It's very dry. But the weather is not a good reason to go. It was one of the ones that I used. I would say, hey, it's hot there. I don't do hot. Only to find out it's not hot there, at least not when Camp Life is. And Camp Life is 7 weeks, and each week a different group of people come in. Their capacity is 115 people, and for the last many years, every week has been completely booked for 115 people, and for each person that comes, 10 to 12 kids get to come to camp. So there's over 1,000 kids in camp each week, and it's a different group that's coming on week 1, 2, 3, and so on, and it's a different group of kids that are coming on week 1, 2, 3, and so on. And these are not kids that are coming from homes where mom and dad, it's summertime, gosh, I can't wait to get rid of the kids so they're not driving me crazy, get them out of the house and get something to occupy them. Not that any of you would ever do that with your children. But these are kids that are coming from the compounds. There's 18 of them. And many of them have never even been outside of the compounds. They get on a bus and they ride through Lusaka, and they get to the Tree of Life, which is clean, and it's exciting, and there's music playing, and there's a lot of fun that's going on. And these kids don't live that life. It's all brand new to them. It is not uncommon to have a child on their first day, their first arrival, to say, is this heaven? Oh my gosh. I mean, it's humbling to think about where they're coming from and what they've gone through and now what they're about to experience. So it's just a great experience. In the lower right-hand corner, you can see that building that's under construction. That's the Legacy Center. In future pictures, you're going to see it completed. That was the starting of the construction of the buildings that are there. And that summer that we were there, we didn't have Camp Life on that property. We had it at a place called the Global Outreach Center, and it was called the Go Center, and we had a great time. So that was my first year. I come home, and guess who I start working on? Well, that would be Lee. And Lee, she had difficulty with it too, as I did, and She was anxious about going, but I got to tell you that my wife, I'm sorry, fellas, I got the best one. I know you have to put up with the inferior, but I've got the best one. So I encourage you to just stick it out, okay, because the best one's already taken. So we went, and guess what? So did Sharon Eckenrode and Rachel Ryan, who's not Rachel Ryan anymore, but that's a different story. And so the four of us went, and we lived in, you see up on the upper left-hand side, we lived in Villa Number 26, which was these big homes that the British government had built back in the late 50s for their government people to live in while they were doing business for the transition of the government from British rule to local rule. And so the houses were real big. They had like 5 bedrooms in them, four bathrooms. But they were built in the late 50s and hadn't been maintained all that well. But it was a really great environment. It was me, another guy, and like 11 women. It was it was like herding cats in the morning. I'm just gonna tell you, getting ready to leave. And so you can see Sharon there, and in the upper right-hand corner, we had already committed to raising money to build what was going to be called Promise House. Fellow on the left in that picture is a fellow named Justin, and he took us out and said, well, this is the spot where Promise House is going to be built. So we scouted around, found a shovel, and did a mock groundbreaking exercise on building Promise House. You can see Rachel over there. This is walking in the compounds, talking with the kids, doing all kinds of things. And then there's my bride there with the children. And boy, did that trip have a breakthrough in her life as well. And she's just been by my side through all of this all along. So that's 2012. Well, in 2013, we didn't actually go to Camp Life because in September of 2012, we finished the fundraising for Promise House. The goal was $80,000, and we raised $80,000 in 10 months, which was just amazing. And in fact, when we got to $80,000, there were still people that were giving after that. We raised another $20,000 in 2 months on top of that to pay for furnishings in the house and clothing for the kids and for us to go back to Zambia for opening up Promise House, which opened on the formal opening was February 7th, 2013. And it was, I think I've told you before, it was like extreme makeover Zambian style. The week that we were there getting the house ready, it wasn't completed. So Lee and I were involved in all kinds of things, and the painters and the electricians and the plumbers and the people that were installing appliances were in and out of the house. And when we saw the house on Sunday, we looked at it and went, this is going to be done by Thursday? Okay. And through the course of the week, we're bringing all the furnishings in. And what was really cool was everything in the house was brand new. So we're opening up the boxes and, taking that styrofoam out and putting everything up brand new. And sure enough, it was ready. And on Thursday, 12 kids moved into the house. And it was like night and day for these kids to move from where they were living in the compounds to be living in a home that they had a bed. That it wasn't just a bed, it had a mattress. It wasn't just a mattress, it had a sheet. And it also, gosh, it had a pillow and a blanket on it. Whoa! And they had clothes that were clean, that were brand new, that were hanging up on hangers or in drawers in their dressers. It was an exciting day, and we had a great time. So Promise House opened February 2013, and we came back home after going there completely exhausted. But it was the best kind of exhausted I think I've ever had, because we left it all on the field, as the players say. So we come home 2013, and then the summer of 2013, we felt terrible because we didn't get to go to Camp Life that summer, because we wanted to go. So 2014 comes around and we go back, and we're there at Camp Life, and we're working, in my case and in Lee's case, with many of the kids that we had worked with before, only now they're 2 years older. some of the boys come up to me and say, Uncle Mark, where were you last summer? We were looking for you, but we got some other guy. Yes. So now, you know, over the course of the summers that we've been going, the boys that I started with in 2011, there was 12 of them. It's Aaron, Bernard, Boyd, Chanda, Davidson, Innocent, Jesper, Nelson, Newton, Wilson, Yona, and Youngson. Well, to that, as they've grown up and gone into high school, something that almost doesn't ever happen in Zambia, 93% of the population never gets to high school. 93%. These kids, almost 100% of them, not only get into high school, but graduate. So now the kids are growing up, and they're going to high school, so when they get into high school, they don't bring them back for camp life. So new kids are at it. So now I've got Aaron and Brian and Clement and Chigombe and Dilitsu and Elias and Francis and Jeff and Isaac and Njama and Raphael and Sternley and Timwani. So we're up, if you lost count, that's over 24 kids that not only got to come to camp, but man, when I came home, for every single one of them, I'm finding people to get sponsors for these kids so that they can go to school and get an education and get a meal a day and medical care and somebody that's in your life that cares about them. And it's just an amazing experience to be part of that. You know, at some point now, we've through the course of what Lee and I have been involved with, Krista, Sharon, and Rachel, and I'm going to introduce, everybody say, good morning, Helen. Helen and her daughter, Megan, went with us. It's over 60 kids that this church is having an impact on. 60 kids that have gotten to go to school, that have gotten medical care, that have gotten to eat every day. It's significant. So that's 2014. Well, in 2015, my friend Helen Svensson and her daughter Megan go with us to Zambia. Well, if Helen were up here, and I'm not going to give her the microphone because I'll never get it back. I'm in the Greenbelt Rotary Club, and the way I got involved in the Greenbelt Rotary Club was when I came back, one of my high school friends from Dematha had heard about the fundraising that we were doing for building Promise House, and he invited me to come to the Greenbelt Rotary Club and tell about what God is doing in Zambia. And I did, and I decided to join, and Helen became a very good friend of mine in that group. Well, Helen wanted to make sure that the money that she was spending was being used properly. And you know what? That's being a good steward. And that's being legitimately cautious in the world that we live in today, because there's so many out there that are just charlatans that are trying to take advantage of you. So Helen goes. And there you can see Helen standing right next to me. I decided not to show the picture of me with this behind her head. I didn't do that. And right next to her is her daughter, Megan. And these are the kids that were part of the groups that Lee and I and Helen and Megan had in 2015. And this is up on the summit point of the rise on the property at the Tree of Life, and it was a beautiful day, and it was a great experience. And Helen came back and became the evangelist for all of these things for me, and what a great partner she's been. So thank you very much, Helen. So then on the next slide, 2016 comes. We go back, and you can see the kid on the lower right-hand side, the kids that are part of the group that Lee and I had. And on the lower right-hand side, that's Joyce. Joyce is a child that's sponsored by a coworker of mine named Rory. Then that school building that you see in the center where we're standing is Chaisa. That school the property and the original buildings that were there was the local brothel for that community. Horrible things happened there. People were being killed. There was all kinds of bad things going on. Family Legacy came in and bought that property, and over the course of the next several years, dismantled the buildings that were on the property and built the new school building that's there. And now all facets of the original buildings that were on that property are gone, and new school buildings are in place. On the top right-hand side, you can see all the kids are holding up soccer balls. These kids make soccer balls out of everything. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, trash bags all wadded up together and some tape around it. But man, when you give them a real soccer ball, it's like you just gave them a BMW or something. They're having a great time. And these kids run around on rock-strewn fields in bare feet like it's nothing. I can't walk from my bedroom to the bathroom without slippers on. These kids are out running around on minefields. It's crazy. And then in the upper left-hand corner, that's Lee and I, with the boys from Promise House, and they're in their Promise House t-shirts. Just a plug, if you'd like to buy a Promise House t-shirt, we'll sell you one in the back. Isn't that nice of us? Family Legacy has now 22 schools, and they're in the compounds. There is one school that is in the Legacy Tree of Life Center, and the kids that live at the Tree of Life Center, which is now over 700 children, live there. They go to school there. That school goes from first grade through 12th. The other schools, some of them go through first through seventh. Others go from 8th to 12th. Some of them go from first through 12th. There's a mixed bag of them, but they're right in the communities that the kids live in. Family Legacy Schools now, they are the largest private educator in the city of Lusaka, which means they're probably the largest private educator in the country, because most of the people in Zambia live in Lusaka. So, that's right in the nest of it. The kids walk to school, and you'll see a video in just a minute about that. So that's 2016, 2017. Oh, by the way, where do we get the soccer balls from? A friend of ours at State Farm donated 160 soccer balls. So, yes? He's your cousin. What did I say? Well, he's a friend too. All right. 160 soccer balls. Guess who was pumping up soccer balls every night while we were in the our room? And the kids were going crazy. So I'm going to use this as a good place to talk about sponsorship. So the kids, so there's, I think it's over 14,000 students that are in the school program now that Family Legacy educates. Some of them live at the Tree of Life. Those are kids that are either orphans, double orphans, or they've been abandoned, or they've been in a hostile situation, and Family Legacy has become their guardians. They live there. The other kids are in the compounds living with a grandmother or maybe a parent, but there's stuff that, they're desperately poor. In Zambia, public education, first through seventh grade, is free, okay? But you can't go to the school unless you can pay for your books, you have to buy a uniform, you have to buy your shoes, and you have to buy your own supplies. Well, you know, there's 80% unemployment in Zambia, and most of the people are making a dollar a day. So if you've got a dollar a day coming in and you're trying to decide whether you're going to pay rent, buy food, or send your kid to school, none of them are going to school. So the illiteracy is just, off the wall. So when you sponsor a child, you make it so that that child can go to a Family Legacy school, which is right there in the compound. And it's around $40 or something a month. We can get the numbers for you. But it makes it so a child can go to school. They're getting a grade A education. They get a meal a day. They get medical care. So they get diagnosed. A lot of these kids have AIDS or sickle cell anemia, the two number one killers in Zambia. And then they get on a regimen for treatment for those things. But probably the most important thing that I think about sponsorship for a child is that there's somebody that lives in that community that knows what's going on in that child's life. So if there is abuse, which is rampant, unfortunately, especially among little girls, if there is neglect, if there is abandonment, then that person knows what's going on in that child's life that works in the school system and can intervene. So it's a major thing that's going on there. All right, so 2017, this is last year. And what you're looking at here on the lower left-hand corner, that's Lee in the room that we stay in when we go over there. The rooms that you stay in are like in a hotel room. It's very nice. You're not sleeping on the floor. You're not trying to ward off the bugs, that kind of stuff. It's a nice room. And she's got like something like 1,000 pairs of children's underwear that's on the bed that we're going to be distributing. And then on the lower right-hand side, you can see it's a picture of being inside the Legacy Center where, okay, so try to imagine a hall that you're inside of with 1,000-plus kids, about 300 Americans, and about another 25 to 50, no, it's way more than that. It's over 300 Zambians that are there as counselors and translators and people that are helping. They're all inside this hall. The music is really loud, and it is really fun, and it is really great, and the kids are just stoked, and you're having a great time, and even this big guy is out there dancing, which is really kind of crazy. You don't want to see that. I try to delete all those videos when we get back home. But that's what it looks like inside when they're doing the big sessions. And then that picture on the top in the center, those are the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. We make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches Sunday night through Thursday night. Everybody makes 8. It's 2 for you. It's 2 for your translator, 2 for the other person that you're working with, and then 2 for the people that are working there. And so you make 8. So the course of the week, 5 times 8 is, quickly now, 40. Thank you, Bill. And then so now you've got 115 people making 40 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches a week. Then you times it by 7, and it's a big number. And then if you multiply that by the number of years that they've been running Camp Life for 7 weeks with all that many people, so let's just say it's the last 10 years, I think I did the math one time, and it's like 250,000 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So for you folks who like, you know, have that peanut allergy thing, I guess we'll figure out something for you. But, you know, what's really funny is I'll send an email to friends that I've been there with, and the subject line is, got a hankering for a PB&J, and they know who it's from. So that's 2017. All right, well, here we are. It's 2018. Let's go to the next slide. All right, so what's in store for 2018? Lee and I are getting ready to go back again. We're leaving June 15th, so it's now inside 2 months or a month and a half or something like that, not very long from now. Family Legacy now has a new CEO and president. His name is Mario Zenstra. He has got some amazing qualifications. He joined Family Legacy, I think, I think his first day was like 2 weeks ago or something like that. So he's got a big job in front of him. It's a huge ministry with a lot of things going on, so please be praying for Mario. And then most of the kids that we work with, that this church and the outreach from us to others, live in a compound called George. And there's 19 kids in George right now that they're looking for sponsors for kids that have lost their sponsorship. Somebody was sponsoring them, something happened, and they need to find a new sponsor. So if you'd like to be a sponsor for one of these kids, let us know. But, you know, so looking ahead, you know, what can you do? Well, first off, you can pray for Family Legacy. They're going through some big changes. You know, you get a new leader in place, and somebody's got to figure out, okay, how do we work with this person, and are things going to change? And things will change. So be praying for them. Be praying for Mario. Give him wisdom. Pray for us while we're getting ready to go and going. The office in our house turns into a storeroom that Lee amazingly gets packed into duffel bags and suitcases. We usually take like 8 to 10 suitcases with us when we travel to Zambia with all kinds of stuff inside of them. So you can help with that by donating children's underwear. I decided not to put any pictures of that up there. Socks, shoes. If you want to do shoes, talk with Lee about sizes and stuff like that. And then other stuff. There's a handout that Lee gave this morning about stuff that you can contribute for hygiene needs, school supplies, that kind of stuff. You can also buy a blanket. You wouldn't think that would be a thing. But for $20, you can buy a blanket for a child that doesn't have one, and it becomes a very important possession of theirs. And then you can donate financially. I'll let you do that. It's just one of my many gifts to you to let you make donations to the work that Lee and I are doing in Zambia. And if you decide to do that and you want to do it today or someday in the future, write your check out to Maranatha Fellowship, and in any memo line, put it to Cedars of Zambia. That's who we are. And then finally, you can go with us. You know, that may seem like a tall order. You might think like, well, you know, that's not really for me. Nobody thinks it's for them, okay? For many, the thought of going is just, that's too out of the box for them. I'm going to ask you to pray about it. I would encourage you to do it. So, Helen, you went. Did you want to go? Well, you wanted to go. Because Helen's a traveler. She just got back from Japan. So she's all over the place. So Helen, you're not a good example. All right. Anyway, that's where we are. And so what I'd like to do is I have two short videos that I'd like to show to you. And then, unless you have some questions, I'm done.
Okay, Andrew, when is your birthday?
My birthday is on 29th of July.
How old are you?
13.
13? What is your favorite thing?
My favorite thing is going to school.
What makes you sad?
The thing that makes me sad is staying at home and not going to school.
Yeah. Where do you go to school?
I don't go to school.
You don't go to school? Mm-hmm. Then how do you know it's your favorite thing?
Well, I pretend. Each day, when I see my friends going to school, I follow them. I want to go to school badly. And when they reach the gate, when they get in, I always open that small window, looking. I will stay, and I'm going to sit down waiting for them. When they come out, I will also follow them. And when they want to do their homework, I always ask for a book. And I will try to act like I am working with them. I try to learn what they have learned. I do this every day. But I believe one day God is going to give me a sponsor.
Thank you. can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you guys can clap too. I think it's such a Walmart. Well, the experience you have there is just incredible. I think with that kind of situation and the way it was brought forth to us, it's something that, for me at least, it demands a response. Because for me not to do anything after that, it's just doesn't seem right to me, right? It's a personal thing, but I hope that you guys are inspired with this. We listen to a lot of sermons when we're here, but it's nice to have the opportunity to actually put those things into practice. So I would like to encourage you, get involved, and I think the point here is God has given us an openness, an opportunity to be able to use what God has given us here to help people who are in need, especially kids. I was thinking about and I don't want to stay too long with this one because I know we need to go. But whenever I see those children, I see my children. And I put my children in their shoes, and I couldn't. I can't because it was too painful for me to imagine. I imagine that boy being Samuel. And if I see Samuel wanting to go to school, my heart breaks. And so I think this is what God wants me to feel, because this is how God's heart feels. It's broken, and God wants us to experience that brokenness with him so that through us, at least these kids would have a future and a hope, because that's what we are, and that's what we are here in Maranatha. It's faith, hope, and love, but it's not something that's imaginary. It is tangible, and it is something that we believe in as a church.